Item number one is a zoning agreement amendment application under file ZAA 14 of 2008. And that is affecting McCreary Road, 1531 McCreary Road. Mr. Chairman, I believe that the applicant is present.
Sure. I can ask staff to come up and...
I'm just at the end of the table there.
Can you pronounce your name?
Maybe it's fine.
A second. So we have this lot, and basically, as you're all aware, that we're applying to have it subdivided in half as two and a half acre lots. And the intention of that is to build two residences, one for myself and one for my brother. And primarily, that's it.
Okay. Assuming it's east-west divide, which you're looking to do that.
Based on, yeah, the site plan, yeah.
How long have you owned the lot?
Okay, before I get started, can I know who everybody is here?
Sure.
I've had the lot approximately 12 to 13 months.
Usually when somebody buys something, they check out what the options are.
Yes.
On the property?
Yes.
And so you were made aware that there was a zoning agreement on the property before?
Yes.
You bought it?
Yes.
So you knew that?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I've lived in that area for 15 years, so I know the area quite well. And so when that property came up at that time, we purchased it. And that basically, that's primarily what, you know, I said, well, I understand that there's something in place, but I also understand that there's, you know, processes within the city that just because something's in place, I can make a request to have a property subdivided or other provisions. I mean, if and what the point is of appeals and processes in place, where, you know, I can, if I can't do it, then why are those provisions in place? Like, I understand, you know, like, it's all, like, to the same point you're saying is, well, why why was the previous bylaw in place stating that it can be reduced to 2.5 acres? So, I mean, there was a bylaw in place allowing for reduction to 2.5 acres originally. So there was another bylaw put in place saying, well, no, we don't want to do that. So I guess my question would be is, why was that done? So if there was a bylaw in place already saying that that place can be divided to 2.5 acres, not specifically the piece of land that I own, but provisions in the, from what I understand, that there were provisions for that. So I was just curious to know why was it altered to reflect, like, you know, because we're building, if we want to build two sites on, like, a house is going to go up there regardless.
Would you like the answer? Typically, we don't actually answer you. You answer us, but I'll give you the answer.
I'm just saying I have a piece of land.
But you've asked a question. Would you like the answer?
Sure.
Okay. The answer is that the Wilkes secondary plan came into effect in 1994, and the reason for that was is that the Filmon government changed the Assessment Act in 1990, which increased the amount of taxation that people would pay, because prior to 1990, people that had a five-acre site paid one half acre at the mill rate that you might pay in Tuxedo or Charleswood or St. James or anywhere else, and the other 4.5 acres you paid at a farm and mill rate. And Filmon changed that so that you had to pay the mill rate on the whole 5 acres, which made it pretty expensive. And some people's property went up by $1,500, $1,600 in 1 year, and they hadn't changed anything. So there was a huge outcry in that area. At the time, there were 88 homeowners that were on McCreary, Loudon, Liberty, Peace, and Charleswood Road. And out of the 88, I think 82 agreed to the 2.5 acre lot splits for those that wanted to do them. And that's why that was put in place. That did not include farmland, which is what this acreage was at the time. And so this was dealt with subsequent to the Wilkes-South Secondary Plan. And actually, there was an application in 2003 to build 43 lots, 2.5 acres, on this stretch of property. It was turned down because it was felt by the people who lived there, and I'm talking about the people on the street, yeah, specifically, and most of them were involved, that it was going to create too much traffic. They were also concerned about a local improvement, because anybody that gets split down to 2.5 acres has to pay to have the street asphalted, although you're never going to see it because you only pay for half the street, which is about $200 a front foot, by the way. If you've got 300 feet, that's a lot of money. 10 feet's $2,000, so 100 feet's $20,000.
This is my brother.
If you've got 300 feet of frontage, that would be about $60,000 that you'd have to pay to asphalt half the street, even though nobody's going to do it, probably for 50 years. And so that was pretty expensive and onerous on the developer as well. And the people on the street were nervous that they would ask for a local improvement, which would get pretty difficult. Excuse me, because they would own a significant portion of the property. So there were a number of reasons why the 43-lot subdivision was turned down. And then subsequent to that, there was a 5-acre one. And when the 5-acre one came, in fact, there's a clause, it's called Condition 3 of the zoning agreement, that you purport to be aware of. And Condition 3 required you to have 50-foot side yards for septic fields, for starters. And if you've got a 50-foot side yard for a septic field on both sides of your yard, that would mean if you had two houses, you'd need 200 feet just for that. So you'd be able to build a couple of garages and provide those side yards for septic fields. So I'm not sure how much frontage you've got, but I believe most of these lots are in the somewhere between 250 and 300 foot width.
That's correct, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So condition three, and you can't just go get a building permit. Condition three actually requires that the application for building permit be approved by the director of planning. And the reason for that was that the intention was, when the 5-acre lots were created in 2003, that the houses had to be in the middle of the lots so that they could never be subdivided. It's in the language of the approvals that were taking place during the public hearing that night. That's what took place. So yes, well, yes. I mean, I'm giving you more information you want, but that's what happened.
No, I appreciate
that. That's the answer.
So, just a couple of points, like the houses in the middle of the lots. So, how's that account for the houses that aren't built on the house? In the middle of the lots?
I don't know how. There's only one that I'm aware of, actually.
There's more than one.
I'm only aware of one.
Okay,
I've gone look
one,
at them.
Then
I don't know how, and that the director of planning may have done that for some particular reason. I don't know what the answer is to that.
So there is exception.
According to the director, there must have been, but I don't know who was assigned off.
So that's what we're asking, is for an exception.
No, you're asking for a variance to... Or for rezoning to change it from 5 acres to 2.5 acres. It's got nothing to do with where the house sits.
No, I know, but it's an exception to what the
rules are.
Yeah, so we want to split the lot in half.
I thought you said in the beginning.
Yeah. And we were asking for an exception, like Doug was getting to that.
Because we're not putting 43 houses
on
there.
He didn't get a lot split.
No, but the rule was what?
Yeah, I don't know.
In the middle, someone said, okay, we'll change the rule.
And I know.
That was that particular one. We know of other ones, so...
I know of one particular one. Yeah.
But we're not.
That's got nothing to do with the rezoning.
Yeah.
So. But we're you know, like, and then you said there was 43 lots, but we're not, you know, obviously that doesn't apply to us because there's only 20 lots there. So I mean that, you know, like I'm not putting 43 houses up. I'm putting one house is going up for sure, and I'm asking for a second house in effect. And for the residents on McCreary, maybe there's some here, they're concerned about increased traffic flow. Well, at best, it'd be maybe two cars more. And yet, you know, the city allowed the retirement home on the corner there, two blocks down on Shaftesbury and Wilkes, which is in excess of 200 people. But that's okay to have 200 people and vehicles, that creates traffic flow. One home doesn't create traffic flow.
And then having the Fort White Center in itself, if you want that to expand with the trails, I'm assuming you're expecting more traffic to go through there?
So I don't, the traffic flow, I don't understand how that, like, you know, if they're doing changes to their like, I mean, I support the Fort White Center, and, you know, like... I would want to see that place expanding on what they're doing. Is that, like, I appreciate everything they're doing. It's just the type of person I am that fits in with that character there. That's one of the reasons I like that area. But going back to the traffic, if that's a concern, you know, then, you know, I don't see any of the residents saying, well, yeah, you know what, the traffic flow, you know, that's an issue. Well, how does that become an issue when you got Fort White expanding? Creating more demand, you know, on the market, saying, well, we want more people coming here. That's creating traffic. And then two blocks down, you have a retirement home, brand new, that's just in the process of being finished, and I think it was actually expanded even more. So that's even more people that has permanent residence there, and that's creating traffic flow. So, you know, I don't see how that... Well, I guess it's the residents there that are bringing that issue up, but I mean, you know, it's kind of saying, well, how do they, how do you justify it? So I'm just, you know, if there are any residents here that, if that's an issue, I'd like to hear that, because if that's one of your primary issues, the secondary issue might be, I don't know, maybe some environmental issue. Oh, you know, you got a septic tank, one extra septic tank. Well, you know, you can have one septic tank for two homes. You know, since we are family, you know, part of the provision on that we were thinking on building is, you know, we would use a lot of common ground in terms of shared expenses for particular items, whatever it is that we decide to do there. So, you know, what's the difference if I build a 3,000 square foot bungalow, or I decide, well, you know what, I'll build a 9,000 square foot bungalow? And how is that going to change anything? I'm going to have three times the structure there, and that would, in fact, have more of a footprint than, you know, two separate houses sharing a driveway and other related amenities there. So that's, you know, like, those are just some points that, just in our defense towards any of the people opposed to us going there. And... I don't know.
And you know that, like, I'm a family. I'm a father, two kids, a wife, and you know, we love Winnipeg. We have businesses in here, and we want to just grow. And I just want to see my family have a nice place to live. I don't think that's too much that.
'Cause across the street, you guys all have 2.5 acres there, and nobody's opposed to that. So I mean, if I go across the street, buy a house, I'll tear it down and rebuild one there. How does that change anything? You know, now I'm going to still implement the same, you know, I'm still using the same services and everything in that area. So, anyways, that's kind of where we're at.
James, did you have any comment? I was just going to comment on the plan approval and the fact that There's one or maybe two houses that aren't located in the middle of the lot. When a building permit comes forward for these lots in zoning and permits, there's a plan approval clause to locate the building and driveway and landscaping. But in the past, I think two have slipped by because the plan approval just says for the house siting. It doesn't say in the plan approval must be located in the center of the lot. I think it was an administrative error that they were allowed to build on the side when some of the administration may not have known why there was a plan approval there. However, it's built on the side, but it's still a five-acre lot. And the clause in the zoning agreement still requires the lot to be a minimum of 5 acres.
Any questions at this time?
Is there anything else you'd like to put on the record? Because this is your opportunity to make your presentation. But come back again. Is there anything new? Is there any other information I can put on the file?
You get to come back, in other words.
Yeah, no, I like just the rebuttal, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So whether I don't present it now, I can do that after?
Well, the new information comes here, so you can't present new information in your second hearing. But what people in opposition to the application.
Okay, so I'd like to take 2 minutes then before I just to review everything. Because if you're saying I can't present new information.
You can't present new information, but you can rebut what they
Sorry, I misunderstood. I can present or I cannot?
You can rebut to what they say. So if they make a comment, then you can rebut your argument back. But no new information.
No new information. Okay. So I'll take 2 minutes and then... Yeah. No, I'm just going through. Like, I can't recall. You have copies of people that were in favor of our subdivision. Okay. And originally, when that second bylaw was put in place, I don't know your processes. It just seems, Mr. Clement, you're the one that put that through. Is that correct?
Both through.
You put them both through.
Well, the community, the Citywide Community Committee did, and then ultimately City Council.
Yeah. So, no, I just, you know, when it goes to vote, who votes?
That's not new. That's what...
No, I understand that. But I'm just asking, when it goes to vote, who votes?
It's the committee here that votes on the application, and then it goes further on to property plan development.
Okay. So I'm assuming that he's allowed to vote. Even though it'd be a conflict of interest that he put forth those originals. I understand the process. I just want to hear an answer. Is that not a conflict of interest, or would it not appear to be a conflict?
Because he's the ward counselor. So.
I know. And would it not appear to be a conflict of interest if he is voting on his own?
It's not a conflict of interest. You get to present. You don't get to ask questions.
So I don't get to vote.
You know, that's right. You get to ask questions.
Yeah. You originally.
Well, we just told you it wasn't a conflict.
So what else do you learn the process?
Well, how is it not a conflict of interest for the person that puts through the bylaw and then at the end says, "Well, I'm going to vote on this committee."
Let me just shut this down here right now. Okay, it's Councillor Clement's job as a city councillor to make decisions on the zone. It's our community committee that listens to those, and then it goes on to a process for city council.
Okay, my question was,
that's done in every jurisdiction really in the country in the world.
Every every level of government.
I know those levels very well. And so I'm asking, is it a conflict of interest? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
Thank you very much.
Okay, there's Darlene Lindsay, I guess. Speaking in support, Matt?
Yes. Is there a chance to speak later?
No. Nope. Now is your opportunity. You also have an ability just to say if you agree with the applicant as well. Just stand up or say, I agree with the applicant. Otherwise, you can come up. Here. Why don't we get you to
these guys have to step down and then they come forward. Then you get a chance to come back up.
I'm speaking in favor of it. I've watched the development out there over the last several years. It seems to me there are already several homes underway now. So the number of potential subdivisions, I think, is pretty limited. For the traffic flow, that's a huge problem on that street. But I don't think it has anything to do with the homeowners on that street. It has to do with the composition of the city and the movement of traffic. And I know I talked to Bill quite a while ago about the number of people working in St. James using McCreary Road rather than Keniston. And I suspect that's not going to change. You know, but if there's another 10 houses or something, I don't see that as the traffic problem at all.
The issue of traffic, ma'am, when I used the term traffic, when we looked at the, like we get numbers, and I'm not going to suggest that they're absolutely bang on every time. The original application for 2.5 acre subdivision was 43 lots. And 43 lots generates, on average, 10 trips a day, so that's 430 trips from residents on the street. And some people thought that was excessive. So that was, for me anyway, that was what I was getting at.
I watched, like, I've been looking for the development for a long time, and I've watched the traffic, and it's not homeowners. It's people coming down Shaftesbury right through to McGillivray at too fast a speed.
Lots of transient traffic, no question about it.
Yeah. The other thing that I like what's happening there, to me, the feeling now with the construction that's going on is exciting and makes the whole area, both sides of the street, look a lot better. And I think if there's more new homes going in, that only improves the situation for everybody there. I think that every one of us have our own personal situations that arise, and they change from time to time. And, you know, there could be reasons among the homeowners that are there or will arise where they would like to have an opportunity, for example, to divide for family reasons or whatever. So I just don't think it's a mammoth problem. I think McCreary Road has some issues, but not this is not one of them in my mind. And I think that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Okay, next is Deborah Shalam. You're speaking in favor, ma'am?
Yes, I am. I'm representing Hal Slamp at 1395 McCreary Road, who would like to see the 5 acre size reduced to 2.5 acres as well, being it's good for one side, it should be good for the other side of the road. Plus, it would probably increase the tax base for the city, which should be considered. And then maybe the road wouldn't be so bumpy. They could maintain it a little bit better. So other than concurring with everything that's been said so far, that's all I have to add.
Is there anyone
else here that would like to speak in favor of the application? Now our hold your peace. Okay, people in opposition. First person is Kim Olson.
I've submitted a letter, as you should have that in the records. If it would please, I could read that for everyone to get a sense of what our thoughts were on this. So,
sure, if you want to verbally say what's...
Yeah, I'll just kind of hit on what... The key point is we are expressing our opposition to this zoning amendment. We do own a lot. It's under construction. A house is under construction currently on the east side of McCurry. We purchased this lot fully knowing about the amendment restricting the subdivision and felt that we understood the ideas behind putting that in place. And we felt there was, you know, we undertook that knowing that and expected the rest of the 21 lots to be handled in the same way. We were concerned about this variance due to the fact that there's yet at least 10 lots that have yet to be construction to be initiated. So allowing a zoning amendment to allow one lot to go to 2.5 acres, it's not inconceivable to suddenly half of those lots, remaining lots, could also undergo amendments, and we suddenly have not just one extra house, but potentially many extra houses on the area. So been much debate about whether traffic increases. Nevertheless, if that many houses or if additional ones did go to a further subdivision, we will start to see considerably greater traffic as a result of that. And, you know, we feel that we've made an investment in this property, and we'd like to maintain the current status of that property to uphold the value of what we feel we invested in. And we feel that many of the other homeowners that may have a similar concern. So basically, that's my main position, is that we do not feel that this is an appropriate amendment to go forward on.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, next person is Brad Banna. Is that pronouncing it right?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'm here also to speak in opposition of the zoning variance. To, you know, I guess reiterate much what Mr. Olson said. You know, one of the reasons why I purchased a lot in the area was the fact that it had originally been zoned for 5 acres, and it was important to me to have that type of space. It was a type of property that I'd been looking for quite a while. And we purchased the lot back in about 2002 when they were first offered, and have since then put considerable investment into developing the lot. My specific concern isn't necessarily with the particular variance that's being requested, but the fact that it could represent a precedence for the area, and there's half the properties are yet to be developed. I have undeveloped properties beside mine, and I feel that it would change the tone of the area considerably. And it's something that, you know, like I said, when we first purchased the lot, we did so based on the fact that it was zoned for 5 acres, and felt that, you know, our privacy and our development of our property would be protected as a result of that.
Good afternoon. My husband and I currently have a home under construction on McCurry Road as well on the east side. We also bought our lot when they first came up for sale. feel very lucky to have found the opportunity at that time. At the time, we've since heard that there was some controversy back at that time about whether or not that area should be developed. And we weren't aware of that at the time we purchased it, but I can see why that was the case. It's an important area from the perspective of the view of Fort Wayne Center and keeping that area as natural looking as possible. And I guess that's in part why I'm in opposition to this. I think that that's what distinguishes this side of the street from the other side of the street, the fact that this backs onto Fort Wayne Center, and that to me is something worth preserving. We ourselves hope to plant native prairie grasses in the back of our lot and that sort of thing to try to keep the looks of that area as natural as possible to be consistent with the Fort Wayne area. So I think to me, more houses going in there concerns me because that will change the openness, the open look of that area as well. I think we, you know, when we bought the lot, it's occurred to me over the years too that we have four kids. It would be nice for one of them to be building on the lot too. But at the same time, we went into this knowing full well that this was the caveat that was placed on it, that there was no subdivision allowed, and we accept that and appreciate that fact about the area. Have no intention of ever applying to subdivide the lot as a result, even though it would have benefited our family to do so. Again, I would agree that I'm concerned about the precedent that could be set here, not only with the undeveloped lots, but I know of at least one person on the street who built on the far side of their property with the intention of hoping to someday subdivide their lot as well, and I expect that they're probably one of the letters of support you got from one of the area residents. So that's one of my concerns, is seeing more of those houses and destroying the character of that side of that street.
I don't have any.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Well, is there anyone else that is speaking in opposition that hasn't registered? As such, and if there's no one else, I'll call the applicant back up and feel free to reply to anything that was said from.
I guess I'd like to address Mr. Olson first. What is your primary concern?
You'll have to address Olson.
To his comments, I'd just like to know what his primary concern was, because he didn't really voice. I mean, I understand what you said, but I've made an investment in there as well, and we already have like a blueprint for one house. Not that this means anything, but and this applies to the other landowners on that side, you know. And then to the gentleman, I didn't catch his last name, but I believe his first name was Brad. A point of interest was, you said, well, you don't want to see precedents, so my counterpoint would be, well, then after the nine lots are developed, if my lot is the only lot not developed, and then I apply, would that be a consideration that you would consider? That would be just a thought. And to the lady that was up here with regards to wanting to keep the aesthetics of the Fort White, I don't know if you noticed the cement plant back there. It's quite big. And I don't know which lot you are in, if you're just starting to develop or building. But I noticed that not a lot of people have done any landscaping on there. And before I even have a house on there, I already started planting trees. I already seeded prairie grass on there. And the fact that my wife works with the natural resources and at the city of Winnipeg, in the community, or in this department, I don't know what it's called, developing whatever. Yeah. So she wanted to come down, and I said, no, don't come down, because it's irrelevant. But in terms of, you know, expressing, well, just the aesthetics of that area, you know, to say that I like Fort White just as much as you, and that's why I'm doing those things that I'm doing there. As far as your concerns with the values of the homes there,
It's not like I'm intending to subdivide. I mean, I can put my own caveat in there and saying, well, look, I'll subdivide. You know, we're putting up two houses, each one 6,500 square feet. So, you know, it's a lot of land, but we're also putting a lot of landscaping in there to the point where you don't even see our house. Like, I basically want to live in the middle of a forest. That's the only place I'll be able to do it. It might take a few years, but, you know, that's kind of the image or thought that I had with this lot anyways. And, I mean, it's hard to picture it now because we're all in the same position. It's just a barren, open field. Everything takes a bit of time to develop. But, I mean, I don't want to look at a cement plant. I'd rather look at the buffalo off to my right. And so...
And we had planted, like, in the back. You can't see them, but if you drive up, we planted 200 trees.
It's like a full orchard back there.
And
so
our intentions are to keep
that whole site there. Like, you know, I got apples, pears, prunes. I mean, I already planted all this in there, knowing full well, you know, yeah, it's a risk I'm taking. Obviously, you know, at the end of it, either one of us is going to flip a coin. We're going to get the lot, and one of us is going to have a house up there. So... We're going to be your neighbor.
We enjoy that land. It's not like we're looking at it. It's just, you know, 5 acres. It's a big plot.
And we understand your concerns, but at the same time, you know, that's kind of, that's where we're coming from. We're like saying, well, you know, I know the area. It's not like I'm living down the street in a house 50, 60 by 150 or whatever lot sizes are. You know, I can get that anywhere in the city. So I can sympathize with, you know, saying, yeah, well, that's why I bought the lot there, because it is a five-acre lot. That's why I already started planting trees and everything now, because by the time I get around to 2 or 3 years before everything's done, it's still going to take another 5 or 10 years before everything's even fully developed. So, you know, everybody has concerns, but at the same token, you know, you might want to have a bit of foresight to who your neighbor is going to be. I might sell my lot. I'm going to sell it to somebody that doesn't like nature. And so now you're going to contend with him. And there's a lot of people like that. I mean, there's a lot of people that are buying houses on Wellington, et cetera, tearing them all down and building up like just massive houses. And that's fine. You know, you do whatever you want. But, I mean, I chose to live in that area. Well, I'd like to choose to live in that area. Just because I'm hoping that the people in that area too have the same process, thought process, which it appears that you do. In that, you know, like you have some, you know, you might have issues where you might think your property value might go down because you're thinking, well, you know, some guy might subdivide this lot and put up a 1,000-square-foot bungalow or whatever. And, you know, I can understand that. You want a contract from me in writing? I'll give it to you. Say, here. You know, you want that asphalt road? I'll pave half of the asphalt. I'll pave half of McCreary. I don't care. You know, it benefits everybody in the end. So, you know, you're worried about the lady on the end saying, you know, yeah, you want to have this street maintained. Yeah, well, we do a lot of stuff. You know, when there's potholes in front of my house, I go fill them up. I don't wait for the city to fill them up because... I don't know if they're going to come around, but you know what? Nobody, you know,
bother us to do that.
Yeah, I don't go knocking on their door saying, "Hey, you know, complain this and that." What's the point of complaining? Just do it, and you know what? What does it cost? $10 a bag of cement. Mix it up, throw it in there, and fill it up. You know, and it's, I know it sounds like, you know, like it's little things like that, but you know, if you sit around and wait for everybody to do something and complain about this and this and that, nothing's going to get done. So, you know, like, I mean, I know we're younger. Well, I mean, I'm 42. He's a few years younger than me, and he's the one with the family. I just got married. So I'm looking towards this in my future. Either way, whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm just letting you guys know how I feel. And that's the best I can tell you. You know, and he's in the same position. We're close family. That's why we want to live together side by side. You know, and that's basically... I'm not really talking to, you know, I'm just letting you know how, where we come from. And that's basically it. We work together. We own business in the city. We have a small winery. We have 4 outlet stores in the city that we've had for 20 years. And, you know, other real estate holdings. So, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I plan to live here basically for the rest of my life. And, like, I enjoy Winnipeg. you know, every, you know, that, and that's where I chose to live, was on the prairie, hopefully. And if not, one of us will be there. And if you have any other questions or whatnot, my number's up on the board there on the prairie. Phone me up. My phone's on all the time. Ask me whatever you want, positive or negative, and I'll just tell you, you know, I'll just tell you the truth. I mean, I got nothing to hide. So.
Well, the decision would be here anyways.
No, I understand. I'm just letting the just for the people that are, you know, whatever, have their concerns, if they want to ask me privately questions, whatever.
Just be our neighbors. So,
yeah.
Is there any questions
did that at the beginning. I can't think of anything else. They've been pretty clear on what they want to do, and provided a little bit more background into the thoughts of this finance project. So at the beginning,
okay. Councilor Marvin, any questions?
Nope.
Any questions? All right, Councilor Clement, are you ready to move the motion? Thank you, gentlemen. We'll just need to sit down and make a room right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I'm going to move that the recommendation of the public service be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And a number of supporting reasons. None of this is ever personal. It's all about the issues. And this particular property, when it became available, it's not very common for a large site like this to become available all at one time. We all know it was a market garden years ago. Well, maybe everybody doesn't know that, but I think most people do. And the two gentlemen that owned it decided to sell it, and one of them subsequently has died. So these lots have created a lot of interest. Originally, like I said, there was a fairly significant sized application with 43 lots. It was deemed to be too many by most people that were involved in the process at the time, which involved people on the street, myself and planners, etc. So that particular application didn't work out. And so when we looked at the and the reason I'm going through this, Mr. Chairman, is because the gentleman questioned it a little bit, is that the reason that we looked at leaving them at 5 acres at the time and trying to tighten that up with a zoning agreement as much as we could so that that's what they were going to be was because that's what everybody wanted. The City of Winnipeg Act allows anybody an opportunity to make a request to change that. I've had actually quite a number of people say, well, how can they even make an application? This is what I was told when I bought my property. This is what the zoning agreement says. And, you know, there's already, you know, X number of lots up. How can somebody, you know, try to change it? Well, the reality is that the law, which is, you know, the City of Winnipeg Act, which, you know, we are governed by, allows people to make application from time to time to make changes. That doesn't make them bad people or anything like that. It's their right to make the ask, and we have to adjudicate those. And sometimes they're easier than others, sometimes when people make the asks, we approve what they're asking for as well, because sometimes they're fairly reasonable. This particular situation, when we created these 5-acre lots, we were crystal on what we wanted to do, which is why the zoning agreement was prepared the way that it was, which included condition three. And I don't know that the legal department actually, when they crafted the language around the Mylars, did it exactly the way that the community committee intended or not. But it was pretty clear at the public hearing and the language in the public hearing that it, the intention was that the five-acre lots never be allowed to be split. The intention was that, based on the zoning agreement, that nobody could even apply. But as it turns out, we can't actually do that. And so people, you know, have the right. In any case, my supporting reasons are that an original application on this property was denied because of density, traffic, and local improvement costs, which would affect everybody. 50-foot side yards for septic fields is a standard being used by rural municipalities. Surely to goodness, in the city of Winnipeg, where we have much tighter densities, that we would go to at least the minimum that is being done in the municipalities. And this is something that the province has created throughout the capital region in particular. And clearly in the zoning agreement, it states that people have to have a 50-foot side yard for their septic field. The next reason is the intention of condition three in the zoning agreement requiring plans to be submitted to and approved by the Director of Planning and Development was so that houses be placed in the middle of the property to prevent applications such as this. I'm not very happy that there, I knew of one that somehow got through. I'm not happy to hear that there's a second one. It's hard to tell because you can't tell where their lot lines are when you drive up and down the street in every instance either. Some of them are clearer than others, but it's frustrating when you sit here and you make motions based on what everybody is telling you they'd like to see, and recognizing that, you know, like even these two young fellows, they bought this property a year or so ago. I mean, they weren't involved when we went through this process in 2003, but many people were. And the clarity of the motions at that time was based on what people who lived on the street came and said, and what the developer at the time came and said, and why he was even doing it at the time, because he actually had a very keen interest in the nature center, and that's why he actually bought the land. He actually wasn't a developer as such. He did it because his wife was a volunteer at the center, and they were concerned about what might happen to the land. And so he was quite happy that we were going to stick with five-acre sites. Another one is that several houses have already been built as per the conditions in clause number three, and any change to these rules would now be unfair to them, the way I see it, at least. On top of that, everybody that I've talked to on the street who has called me, and there's been several, has been opposed. I never had one person call me to tell me that they were in favor, although there were a couple here tonight. And that's fine. I mean, they don't have to call to say that one way or the other. But the ones that were opposed certainly did. And I guess that's why there's as many letters as there are, because everybody doesn't have the time to come out here. And so those are the supporting reasons for me moving that the recommendation that was made by the Winnipeg Public Service be approved, which is to not allow the split and to leave it at 5 acres.
Okay. Do you want to move the public hearing with respect to the matter?
I will move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.